Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What? You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned.
What's up?
What's going on, brother? All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get started here. Hello and welcome to another psychologically horrifying episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. And we have a guest here today. This is actually, I'm getting new to this live stream thing. Okay, and we got a guy on the show that is pretty well versed in the live stream thing. Hillbilly from Hillbilly Moonshine channel on YouTube. How's it going, Phil?
How's it going?
So we are delving into this one of my first forays into the live stream here, and we're gonna tackle The Shining and Dr. Sleep. Those are some movies that you recommended there. And I gotta tell you, I hadn't seen Dr. Sleep in some time. I mean, sorry, The Shining. I really hadn't seen. When I rewatched it this time, it was I probably hadn't seen that movie in, I would say, 15 years.
Yeah.
So when was a crazy movie, man. When was the first time that you saw The Shining?
I had to be a little kid. I bet I was a little kid. I was a little kid, and I didn't remember all of it. Like, I probably fell asleep, but it would always be on. But as a kid, I'd see it on, you know, and I was a little child, so I really didn't, and I just knew it was scary and red rum.
Yeah.
But as an adult, that's one of the things I remembered. You'll see things like, did you see that? there's conspiracy theories because one, it's Stanley Kubrick, everything he's ever done, and there's some sort of conspiracy theory involved.
Yeah.
And, everybody's opinion of how it is. Like there's videos out there that talk about how The Shining really had a different meaning and how, like, you know, the house or the hotel was built on an Indian burial ground. And then there's that, all the pictures of the Indians and all that. And then, like, the canned goods kitchen, the Calumet with the Indian face on it. There's that conspiracy theory. There's two other main, there's like three main conspiracy theories that's involved in The Shining. And they're like famous people that had these, you know, they did interviews, kind of like what we're doing, the podcast. Yeah. And they told about it. It was a pretty cool show. You ought to check that. I don't know where I've seen that, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, my son was telling me the, was going into some of this stuff about like the relationship between the father and the son and how there's some conspiracies on the type of abuse that was going on. And I was, I never
picked up as a kid, huh?
Yeah, not at all. You know, and one of the things that rewatching The Shining this past time, I really saw a lot of the things that have taken effect on pop culture now, you know, not only the Here's Johnny thing. I mean, how many times have you seen that in different movies and in parodies and stuff? You know,
yeah.
With the axe through the door. And It's
what year was it made? Was it made in 1980? 1980. See, back in the day, like horror movies, they meant a lot more because we didn't have all this multimedia to entertain ourselves. And back then, like Christianity and things like that were a lot larger than they are today. And like for example, The Exorcist.
Yeah.
When that movie came out, and I was a child, I'm just going from what I've heard and what I've read. So when The Exorcist came out, dude, it freaked people out, like grown-ass adults. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And movies like The Shining, when they came out, people had nightmares. Now, like my children will watch it and be like, this is no big deal. But the times were different back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as far as the creep factor, it carried a lot more weight. 1980, you go to watch that back then, that's a crazy ass movie.
Yeah, it was. It's I remember seeing this on just public cable when I was a kid, you know, and it wasn't it was different. I can honestly say it was different watching it as a kid than when I just rewatched it just the other day. It really, you can see more as an adult now to what's going on. You know, first of all, the imagery, you know, the opening sequence of the movie, you know, when they're driving through the mountains there, it's beautiful. I mean, the way Kubrick, you know, how he flew in over the mountains and down that road, and it's just, and the whole scenery of the hotel, those are the things I didn't notice when I was a kid.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But
I was thinking that same thing at the beginning, because I rewatched it too before this. A couple weeks ago, I was like, man, I'll go back and rewatch that. And then I'm going to watch Dr. Creep right afterwards.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Dr. Sleep.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Sleep. My bad. I was talking about.
I had never seen Dr. Sleep. So when I watched it, I really didn't know what to expect. But then, you know, we get into, you know, of course, in The Shining, Danny's a kid. And through The Shining, we have, What's Jack Torrance, who's played by Jack Nicholson? What a job he did! Oh my gosh, you know, just playing to the fact that he's losing his mind. It's and he's going nuts. It kind of you wonder why is he going crazy? You know, is it the isolation? Is it well? Later on, we find out that the hotel actually has powers. You know, some kind of supernatural powers, kind of thing. And it's odd to catch on when I rewatched it, because you see little by little how Jack is losing his mind. You know, we find out that he's got a checkered past. You know, he was an alcoholic, abusive, and little by little you see the bits and pieces of that person coming back. And as an adult watching it, you start picking that stuff up. You know, especially as a father, you start picking those things up. You know.
Yeah. Like, damn, Jack beats the hell out of his kid, man.
I know.
Yeah. I guess so much. Like, I didn't notice that when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah. No, and, you know, there's scenes throughout, I mean, that we notice, like, the imagery, like I was talking about, the twins, the two twins, and the blood coming out of the elevator. Those kinds of things are just completely... damn, you know.
Yeah,
it's odd to say the least. let's take a break from the movie real quick here, because okay, when I first started getting into the moonshining thing, your videos were the first ones that I saw on YouTube, and that was a few years ago, I think.
Yeah,
so you've been doing
it's been about 6 years, I think.
Oh yeah, so you've been doing this for a while. So you're like veteran.
I'm a what?
You're like a YouTube veteran now.
Yeah. See, I originally didn't start with the Philbilly. I made some videos on how to repair electronics and shit. And then I was like, I'm going to make a couple videos where it don't show my face or nothing and see how they do. And I made a biscuits and gravy video, like a recipe, because I could cook pretty good. And I made a cooking video, and I didn't really notice or pay no attention, but it went fucking viral.
Yeah.
It was the number one. It probably still is the number one biscuits and gravy, how to cook biscuits and gravy video on all the internet everywhere. I'm talking about across the world on Google, on MSN. It went crazy. And it was because everybody was mad. Everybody was pissed.
Right. Everybody was saying you messed it up or something?
No, it was because I was telling people, like, you don't call sausage biscuits and gravy. You call it biscuits and gravy. And they got fucking mad. Yeah. Like, don't tell us how to talk, motherfucker. But, yeah, man, that video pays me. I get paid every month from it.
Really?
Yeah, it's paid me ever since. I monetized my channel because of it. And people can hate, and that it's not linked to anything where my face is, so that's totally separate YouTube account, right?
Yeah.
So I have two monetized YouTube accounts, and I haven't made a video for that one in 5 years, and it still pays me. But for that one video, it's how to make biscuits and gravy. And you either love it or you hate my guts, but my face isn't shown and my name's not on it, so nobody knows it's me. It's crazy.
You have to send me a link to that so I can check it out.
I will. Look, man, I was halfway fucking with people like when I was making it. I was being a dick on purpose, and it worked. Just like I'll purposely use a metal spatula on a cast iron pan. It pisses people off. And if people comment on your video, they'll recognize the comment, good or bad. And they'll be like, oh, people like this. People like this. This is getting people talking. So they'll put your video up top and your video will go viral because of it. I did it on another video and it went viral too. It was how to make shit on a shingle. And I used a metal spoon. And they were like, that's cast iron. You don't do that. And I'm like, man, you do that, you son of a bitch.
Oh,
you
man.
You do whatever you want, man. I refurbish cast iron. They sell chainmail. They sell chainmail to use on it for cleaning it. So you can use anything you want. It's cast iron. It's indestructible. Yeah.
Truth.
Only thing kills its water.
Unfortunately.
But yeah, man, I love scary movies, man. I grew up watching them all.
That's good. That's why when I first met you, hey, you watch horror movies? And I was like, heck yeah. But yeah, you know.
Dude,
go ahead.
I have a life-size sandworm coming out of my fucking living room wall.
Dude.
From Beetlejuice?
Yes.
Legit. I have a life-size three-dimensional sandworm coming out. Here's his tail going into the wall, coming back out. Here's his middle section. Going back in the wall, coming out, and here's this fucking head ready to eat Beetlejuice, dude. I'm not shitting you. I have a sandworm in my living room. My living room's done with horror movies. I have a Lamont from Hellraiser on my shelf. I got a real life-size Chucky on the shelf with a butcher knife in his hand. It's cool. But, yeah.
Dude, I'm going to have to visit you sometime. Jeez, that's awesome stuff. Here, man, jeez. Not only I can visit you and get some good shine, I can enjoy some horror. That's awesome, man.
Take some pictures of it, put it on your thing.
Yeah, this now back to The Shining here. What do you think about Kubrick's direction in this movie?
He always has his own little weird thing, man. He's always like doing something, put undertones of this and that, and it's like the very beginning of the movie, the trumpets, that music, that's Kubrick's music, bro. It's like the same music from Clockwork Orange. You know what I mean? Like, them creepy trumpet background music.
That the Clockwork Orange was actually, I think, my first real introduction to Kubrick. You know, and that was. That was kind of a fucked up movie as well.
Yeah. I watched that movie 1,000 times growing up, dude.
Yeah. I remember there was one year, a bunch of buddies and mine, we dressed up as the guys, you know, with the white, you know, and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And people were like looking at us like, And me, I'm a hefty sized guy. So seeing
you was Drew, not Alex.
First of all, trying to find the right clothes to fit me to dress up like that. It was a last minute spur of the moment thing. So that was kind of rough, but we pulled it off and I think it was pretty darn good. People, yeah, definitely was staring and pointing kind of deal, you know? Yeah, it is. Now, if I remember correctly, Stephen King wasn't too thrilled about this take on his book, right? Have you heard?
No, he was pissed off. He was mad.
Yeah. Have you read the book?
I haven't. I don't read any books, man. I hear books are better. I got ADD so bad. If it's not in a movie, I ain't checking it out.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about getting the audio. I do audio books because I'm driving in a lot. So I'm thinking about getting the audio book and checking it out. And seeing, you know, differences in what's going on with it in the movie. Why I haven't really delved into why King didn't like this, but I did hear that when Dr. Sleep came out, he was happy with that. Right?
That was crazy. How about like? Did you? And I know, like, I like reading about conspiracies, right?
Yeah.
I don't believe them. I'm not one pushing them on other people, but I like the like. That's where movies come from, you know, I think a lot of times, or movies where conspiracy theories come from, and books. Just like recently we had a big conspiracy theory about, I don't know if I really want to say the words on here because it might, you know, adrenochrome and things like that, and Pizzagate.
Yeah.
And it lets you know, like, that book, Dr. Sleep, if it's a book or whatever, novel, whatever it is, that is where a lot of the inspiration, I imagine, came from for the conspiracy theory, you know?
Yeah.
Because The Shining and then, you know, basically Still No Shine, it's kind of similar to what we just went through. And I'm not getting political whatsoever. I'm just saying, like, during the last presidency, we had a conspiracy theory.
And it was a lot of them.
And it was a big deal. And it seemed like when you're watching The Shine or you're watching the Dr. Sleep, you're like, holy cow, dude, this kind of reminds me of reading about all that crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe that's where the inspiration for the conspiracy theories came from. I don't know. I could be wrong, but it made me link the two together. Just watching the movie.
Well, I'm also I listen to podcasts about conspiracy theories, you know, culttalk.net and. You know, they have a cult of conspiracy where they talk about conspiracy theories, not that they believe them, but they're just putting them out there for people to, this is what it is. And they're interesting sometimes. Sometimes you listen to them, you're like, what the shit is this? But some of them you're like, I don't know. Maybe. Dude, I don't know.
I listened to the Inner Earth Theory once, and there's like three different versions of that. But one of them is like, it's like, man, they ought to make that into a movie. And then you watch a movie like Land of the Lost. have you seen Land of the Lost with Will Ferrell in it?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time, dude. I love that movie.
That's a good movie.
But you watch that and you read the theories about the inner earth theory. They have a model of the inner earth theory patented. Somebody made a working model of the inner earth and had it patented. And if you're watching and you don't know what that is, there's theories, there's multiple versions of the theories for the inner earth. And there's like three main ones, but one of them goes into depth, into detail, compares it to biblical times. It's really interesting and it's really cool to listen to and then read about. But I'm not saying I believe any of this shit whatsoever. I don't... You know, I'm just saying they're really interesting. I'm not going to turn one down. If I hear somebody talking about green men, I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to read it. It doesn't mean I follow that or I'm going to believe in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's where a little sci-fi comes from.
Well, yeah. And I remember when I was younger hearing conspiracy theories about lizard people.
Yeah.
And you know, then when I heard that, I was like, oh, wait, I remember that TV show from the 80s, V.
Really?
And I was like, wow, wonder if that's where that came from, you know? Yeah, exactly. You're right. Conspiracy theories are fun, but don't believe everything you hear on the internet, people. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, though, if you do, they'll ruin your life.
Yeah, they will. And it's all psychological. You know, it's, you know, all these conspiracy theories, they feed on your psychological thing, which, you know, goes right into this movie, The Shining, you know, psychological horror. And The Shining was really one of the first movies to play that role, you know, because before this, it was just, you know, slashers, you had aliens, you had giant bugs killing people and that kind of stuff. But The Shining was groundbreaking. And after The Shining, there were other movies that played along those same lines of psychological horror.
Yeah.
So The Shining was, as I was doing some research, I was like, wow, I didn't realize The Shining had that big of an impact on horror, the horror genre in general. But it did. It had a huge impact.
It's a dad trying to kill his wife and son, breaking through the door with an axe in 1980. That shit's crazy.
Yeah, and then you go into, you know, like we were saying earlier, he's going crazy. But why is he going crazy? And we find out that the house itself has a power. And his mind, some people say that he has the shine as well, but it's kind of like an addictive personality.
Yeah.
And that his shine opens him up to the influence of the house, which is why he goes crazy. You know, other people are like, no, it's the isolation. He's out there by himself, and it's just his demons start getting the best of him. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that he's just, I think it was a little bit of all of it. I do think he had a little bit of the shining, and I think something opened him up to where. And then, did you see the picture at the end? And also, he said, you're the caretaker. You've always been the caretaker.
Yeah.
And then at the end, at the end, he's always been there. So it was like, it's hard to say. Like, do you interpret that? Like, did the soul, was he reincarnated into this man? Or like, it gets crazy because it's a totally different timeline. And it showed him in an old picture from the 1920s.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he was there. And what year was it when the movie was going on? Was it 70 something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then 70 something, he's there with a family. I don't know exactly how to take that. If you have any thoughts on that, I'd be interested hearing that.
That, when that whole scene happens where he, you know, first of all, he walks into the dance room. You know, I don't remember what it's called, but he walks in there and there's a whole party going on. There's a whole ball, you know, and it's all taking place in the 20s. And at first you're thinking, well, maybe he's going crazy. Maybe he's drinking, because we have that scene earlier where he's at the bar and he's talking to the bartender, who that same bartender comes into play in Dr. Sleep. But it's a different character. Yeah. But
Lloyd. What's his name? Lloyd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in Dr. Sleep, Lloyd is actually Jack Nicholson. Well, it's supposed to be Jack Nicholson, but, you know, it doesn't look too much like him, a little bit. But he's sitting at the bar. Lloyd gives him, first of all, he says, give me a bourbon. And they pour him Jack Daniels. And the first thing I said is, Jack Daniels is not bourbon. That's Tennessee Sour Mash. Yeah. But I guess some people wouldn't recognize that. But, you know, did he actually get a drink? Or was that just in his mind? Because
it's probably in his mind. There wasn't no alcohol in the hotel, remember?
Yeah. So
before he left, he said, there's not a single bottle of alcohol in this whole place. Yeah, and he said, good, because I quit drinking because I beat up my kid.
So we know that he wasn't actually drinking. So when he walks into this ballroom and there's a huge party going on, you know something's up. And you can definitely tell they're 20s era people. You know, they're dressed, you know what's going on. But what you got going on there?
Super sweet Silver Queen.
Oh, nice.
Fresh corn.
That's so good. Oh, is that the is that one of the new ones you made?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I still got some of Tom Crumb's beer can juice. Been drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good stuff.
Are you going to Farm to Bottle?
When is that? That's coming up soon, isn't it?
25th and 26th.
Nah, I won't. I'll be at a horror convention, actually, in Charlotte.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm going to meet Linnea Quigley and Doug Bradley and Kane Hodder.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, this going into this ballroom, you right there know that he's something's cracking in his head. And then when he goes into the bathroom and the guy's telling him, no, you've always been the caretaker. And then you put that together with a picture at the end. That got me thinking, because I'm like, wait a minute. How can he be out in the world and have a family and then come back to the Overlook where he's always been the caretaker?
Yeah.
Reincarnation? I don't
know. It's weird, right?
Yeah, it is. Because
maybe he was also... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Maybe he just ended up being possessed, but I don't know. It's crazy.
If he's possessed, that picture is 1921 that they show at the end is definitely him.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
I think Dr. Sleep was an excellent sequel after what, 40 years? You're going to make a sequel to a movie?
Yeah. And that Dr. Sleep was completely took me off guard. I had never seen it, and I hadn't read anything about it. So, you know, besides the fact that Stephen King was happy with it and all that. So after I had watched The Shining and I went to watch Dr. Sleep, I was expecting more of The Shining kind of a movie. Goddamn gypsies stealing steam from people that got the shine. What the hell?
Another level, dude. Another level.
So... We know what happens in The Shining. You know, everybody's seen that iconic, here's Johnny and Wendy and Danny get away. Now, let me ask you a question real quick about Shelley Duvall as her character as Wendy. Before we get into Dr. Sleep real quick. Shelley Duvall, what did you think of Shelley Duvall in that movie?
I think that one... the annoying factor is it's perfect. I think her role, like, she was born to play that role. I mean, she's always been kind of annoying and had that annoying voice and the screams. Yeah. And it's just like she played that role that they wrote that role for her. And maybe they didn't realize that, but that was her all the way.
She did a great job, you know, being the mother, the wife, you know, she's trying to hold her family together. But yeah, you're right. Shelley Duvall has this way she portrays herself in movies. She's kind of that, I don't know. I don't want to call her annoying.
She's annoying as fuck.
She is. You know? And there was
even parts, her teeth.
Yeah.
Her annoying. Was, like, goddamn.
There was parts in this movie where I was like, oh, she looks kind of cute there. And then they show another scene and I'm like, ah, well, maybe not. You know,
that mouth is busted the fuck up.
Did you see her in Popeye?
Yeah.
I love Popeye. And I thought she was olive oil. She did a great job in that as well.
Yeah.
You know,
that's weird, man. My cousin just told me I dyed my beard and he said, you look like fucking Brutus. And I was like,
oh, you got to sing that song. What is it? It needs to be in me. That's what that movie. Yeah. No, not Brutus. It's Bluto. His name was Bluto.
Was it Bluto? Yeah.
And that movie's great. I love that movie. And I made my kids watch it, and the whole time they were complaining. This looks so fake. I'm like, well, first of all, it's Robin Williams. You got to love it.
Yeah.
You know, but, and it, I grew up with the Popeye cartoons as well, so I loved it anyway. You know, regardless. But now let's move on to Dr. Sleep. Let's delve into Dr. Sleep a little bit more. This, like I said earlier, this movie, it took me completely by surprise. What the hell? Like I said before, this movie took me completely by surprise. A roving band of gypsies that has lived for how long that can sense kids that have the shine and feed off of their, what they call steam. And that's how they say stay young forever. This is a complete opposite to what The Shining is. It's a complete different type of movie.
Yeah, The Shining set it up. See, it's Stephen King, man, so he's going to throw you a curveball.
And I didn't realize that that Dr. Sleep was also a Stephen King novel. Then after I was doing it, I was like, oh, he wrote them both. So he wrote this, and he was happy with this version. So he had this in mind the whole time.
Yeah, it was Kubrick's portrayal. I don't think Stephen King really liked. I mean, somebody could have told it differently, but I do think that Kubrick does his undertones and things, man. It's just, he makes a movie, it's his style, and immediately, like the minute they're driving, the first scene with them driving through the mountains, you hear that music and you know it's Stanley Kubrick. You didn't even have to see his name. You knew that this was the same guy who made fucking Clockwork Orange, Space Odyssey, you know. Everything Kubrick has that creepy trumpet playing music. I don't know if it's trumpet, but them horns, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear it in my head right now. Maybe it's the time talking, but I don't know, but I hear it.
For me, it's always from Clockwork Orange when they're in the milk bar.
You know, a milk bar. Song.
Yeah, yeah. The milk bars where they, you know, doing that psychedelic shit. But yeah. Kubrick always has some crazy shit going on in his movies. And that's I don't think Stephen King liked that very much.
Yeah. Well,
but who did who? Go ahead.
This The Shining. I don't even know who directed The Shining. Or, I mean, Dr. Sleep.
Yeah.
Mike Flanagan.
Yep, Mike Flanagan.
Huh.
He looks kind of weird. He's a little weird looking feller.
Is he?
But he did a good job, man, I think.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, Dr. Sleep, I mean, we're introduced to, it opens up when we have, they're redoing some shots from The Shining. You know, Danny riding the big wheel, I guess it is, through the hotel. Passes the room 237, I think it's 237 or 273, 237, I think.
237.
Yeah. And, you know, we have the girls, the twins, and the blood. And we have a new person that is portraying his mother.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think, you know, Shelley Duvall did a great job in The Shining. And who is this girl that they had playing his mother in this one? Find out right now.
I think it was really hard for them to get her down and to get, you know, Jack down. Jack looked animated as shit.
Yeah, he did. It was bad CGI, it looked like. But they did the best they could. It got the story across. You know, she's talking, I guess he hasn't talked since they left the hotel. And then he's sitting out at a bench one day and he sees Catman, well, the guy that played Catman Crothers, or the Catman Crothers played in The Shining movie, you know, and what was it? I don't even remember his name now. He's the one that started calling him Doc.
Yeah, the cook.
Dick Halloran. Yeah, Dick Halloran. They got a new actor to play him. Did a pretty good job, obviously, because they couldn't get Catman Crothers to play him again. But did a good job. And he learned something, because he's talking to him, his spirit. And he learned something to help deal with what he's going through, but to move forward. You know, but he ends up having this huge alcohol problem as he grows up. And now he was having issues with his dad. That's why he was drinking so much, right? That's what they say. Because he'd always try and figure out what his dad was thinking and what his dad was going through. And the only time he could not deal with that was when he was drinking. Boy, now I need another drink.
You said drinking five times. You got to take a drink.
So Danny Torrance, we have Danny. He's trying to be a better, well, he doesn't really try to be, he leaves, he has to escape where he's at. And he finds himself in a small town, right? And this guy sees him as somebody that needs help. He decides to help him. Takes him to an AA meeting, and he gets clean. He's been in, he goes on, and it's like 8 years later. And he's clean, he's a standing, you know, person, member of society. He's a good guy now. But in this whole time, we're still seeing, what is her name, Rose the Hat, and her group.
Yeah.
The gypsies that are going around stealing the steam. And you know something creepy is going to happen with these people. Do you have the steam, Phil?
I'm sorry, I do. I got the shine.
This whole group of how they travel around and just find people.
Yeah.
It's really creepy.
Little kids. Yeah. I mean, like
the baseball kid.
There used to be one rule in movies. Yeah. It's like you don't do anything bad to children. Even if it's a horror movie, teenagers are fine, but little kids are off limits. And yeah. Nowadays during movies and shit, they don't care no more. And it freaks people out, kind of like the way movies used to freak people out during the early, you know, the beginning of the whole thing, like color TV and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like The Shining and Exorcist, like I said, they'd freak people out back in the day. Now they ain't even scary to kids.
No.
But you do something bad to a child in a movie and it freaks people out.
Yeah.
Psychologically messes with you because there's rules to the cinema. It used to be, and now they're breaking them. Every year they break a new rule. Like,
yeah, they do.
You know, just like people say, there's rules to scary movies and shit. Used to be the number one rule was nothing bad happened to little children. And yeah. Then here's the shot or the Dr. Sleep, and they're over there like killing little kids and shit, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah, not only are they hurting, they're killing. Yeah, they're torturing them. And, yeah,
and that's where that adrenochrome shit came from, bro. Tell me it didn't. Tell me if you read about that conspiracy. That's where it came from.
What is the where they're drinking? That goes place where like the Hollywood elites are drinking this.
Yeah.
Stuff, right. That's where that goes from, right?
Yeah, but the more fear a kid has, the more endorphins are in the blood. The better the adrenochrome is, they're extracting adrenochrome from the blood. So they're being mean to them and torturing them. And that there's no way that conspiracy didn't come from that book.
Had to have.
You know what I mean?
Well, because I mean,
it's the same concept.
That kind of thing's probably been around forever, really. I mean,
yeah.
You know, there were ancient civilizations that sacrificed children, you know, for rain and stuff.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, but it has to have been around, you know, just building over the years.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I feel one way or the other through the conspiracy. I'm just saying that, like, that conspiracy and that novel somehow are linked together. You know what I mean?
Like, probably right. You are
right. Because you remember Rose the Hat saying how they're going to hurt the child and all that to get him to better the steam.
Yeah.
And the steam is just it's a dream room. That's it, man. I don't know. I might be fucking shit up, but
vaporize.
I shouldn't be saying this.
Nah. Vaporize adrenochrome and they're inhaling it and it makes them. I'm thinking about it now and I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
Do you ever realize why she wouldn't take her hat off? I don't remember if I ever seen, I remember she said that she never takes that hat off.
Well, I remember.
Did that hat ever come off of her?
There was one time when she was in there peeping on Abra that Abra kind of tricked her. Or no, this was when she was in the grocery store and she saw Abra for the first time, and Abra threw her back from the ice cream freezer.
Yeah,
her hat fell off, and somebody went to pick it up for her. She said, "No, don't touch it."
Yeah, what was in that hat?
I don't know.
There's some secret had to do something with that.
Yeah, because early on in the movie, it's a magician's hat. That's when they pick up that one little girl, and she's like, "Oh, it's a magician's hat." And she starts pulling out flowers out of it.
Yeah.
So there was something with the hat. I mean, her name is Rose the Hat, So
yeah, there's the Easter egg there somewhere, man. We just got to find it.
My point of that now. Great. Now
it's gonna keep you up at night until you figure it out.
I'm gonna figure this out now. Now
scour the web.
We have there's a stark difference from the filming in Dr. Sleep to The Shining, obviously because of Stanley Kubrick and the new director, but the story behind Danny and how he meets Abra. Now Abra's this little girl that has the shine, and we find out she's very powerful, right? Yeah. And he's living in this, I don't know, it actually looks like a pretty decent one-room apartment, I guess. Looks kind of cool. Man, if I was single, living, needed a one-room apartment, that's kind of cool. But he has this huge chalkboard on the wall, and as he comes home from time to time, there's messages written on it. And this is how he meets Abra, this girl. He starts writing messages back, and, you know, they have friends. They become friends. And right away, you're thinking, I was thinking, an adult guy being friends with a girl like this, I don't know if that's going to go over too well, you know. And little by little, they become friends. And then Abra starts, she's delving in more and more and more with these band of gypsies, is all I can think of what to call them. And she becomes in danger. And she finds her way to Danny. There's a huge distance between them. She's supposed to be going to school. She skips school and she goes off to takes a bus to meet Danny, you know, wherever he's at. And he starts talking to her and he's like, just leave it be. Don't deal with it. Just let it go because they're going to find you. And that's going to be it. This whole thing with Abra is very, I would say, kind of creepy because you don't know the extent of her powers at this point.
Yeah. Right?
And it's really not until later on, they kill that baseball player kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she knows where it's at because what did they call her? An observer or something like that?
Yeah.
And so she knows where the body's at and all this stuff and about the baseball mitt and all this stuff. And that's when Rose the Hat gets the idea of, oh, there's somebody out there and she's very powerful. And this happens before the whole ice cream scene thing and all that good stuff. This movie is just a stark difference. Even though it's a continuation of the storyline, it's such a stark difference of from The Shining.
Yeah, it's night and day different. This is what most people were expecting, but if you pay attention to The Shining, there's things that you wouldn't when you watched it as a kid. That you wouldn't have picked up. And if you didn't watch them back to back, you would have forgot things like The Shining, period. Like what The Shining is. Like that wasn't a like huge factor in the movie. So, I mean, the fact that he's pretty much telekinesis or whatever you want to call that shit, like empath or whatever, didn't pay attention. Like there's things in The Shining that as I watch as an adult that I'd never seen, like, or I didn't remember, like Jack Nicholson, you know, saying the N-word and that little bit of racism right there. That was crazy. Talking about the cook.
I didn't remember that.
I was like, what the fuck? I don't remember that at all. Like that there's a little hint of racism there. And then watching Dr. Sleep just now because I forgot that little girl's name. Her name's Abra. You know, abracadabra. I mean, I'm sure that's why they named her that.
Because early on in the movie, they have a magician at her birthday party, and he's like, tell me a magic word. And she says, abracadabra. Yeah. And she's doing magician stuff. She's like, I can do magic too. And everybody's blowing her off. And that's when the spoons, when the parents come into the kitchen, all the spoons are stuck to the ceiling.
Yeah. They kind of know something's up. They all acted surprised and shit later on.
Yeah, and the parents are kind of like, I don't know what the hell.
Kind of ignore the
thing. Yeah. Got a strange kid here. I don't know.
But there's little things that if you watched it when you was a kid that you would not remember and would not pick up.
Yeah.
And like even now, like when you said Abra, I was like, man, there's something I didn't even think about her name being Abra, and I didn't remember the magic the part. Like, she said abracadabra.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's little Easter eggs here and there in every one of these damn movies.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and this is the part in the movie here where the cook shows up again. Well, because we left out the whole part here where Danny gets a job at the hospice place helping people pass. You know, he has this cat that mysteriously knows who's going to die. So he goes and helps them calm them down so that way they can pass peacefully. That's where he gets the name Dr. Sleep, you know. That part was interesting, you know, and we see Danny using his powers a little bit more at that point. But then we have Abra showing up. We see Abra when Abra shows up to talk to him, and he just kind of tells her not to worry about it. Don't bother with it. But then the cook shows up again and tells him, you need to help her. You have to help her. And one of the things that he has coped, because the spirits from the hotel have been haunting him. So how he's been coping with them is that he creates these boxes in his mind and he pushes them all away in there. And that's where he hides them. So they're not bothering him anymore. And, you know, it comes to the point toward the end of the movie here where they end up going back to the hotel. The hotel's been condemned. You know, they're not no caretakers anymore. There's nothing there. It's all condemned. And he has a plan. You know, he wants to lure Rose. And they've already killed all of Rose the Hat's gang of people, all the group.
That was badass, too. That was brutal.
And how they were dying. You know, when they go down, how they disintegrate. Well, they're so old, so they just kind of... It's kind of like a vampire thing, you know, when you shoot a vampire with whatever, when you kill them, they turn to dust. That was kind of cool. All those death scenes are kind of cool. And then when they get the Stanley, not the Stanley, what's it called? The Overlook Hotel. It's all boarded up and there is, you know, nobody there. He tells Abra to stay in the car and to let him know when Rose shows up. Now, he goes inside, turns on the lights, turns on the power, evidently rigs something up in the boiler room, which we don't really know what's happening, but we see him do it. And this whole scene where and this is where we see that CGI Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Doesn't look the greatest, you know, honestly, but it's all right. But he devises a plan of how he's going to handle Rose the Hat. She shows up. He opens up all of his boxes that are in his mind and all these ghosts or spirits or whatever come out and attack her and they kill her and they feed off of her steam. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah. That was my favorite part.
Yeah. But then they turn on him and that was kind of because he also has the shine. So they want his shine. You know, it ends with the Overlook Hotel being destroyed. You know, he had set up some trap in the boiler room and it blows up, burns down. Now, I don't remember. Does he make it out? I didn't even remember that he made it out.
No.
He doesn't? Because they just show Abra outside looking in at that, right?
Yeah, I remember at the end, he goes to visit her. She's talking to him. Yeah. He's like a ghost or some shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like the, what was the old man, the cook from the first one?
Mike is his name. I don't remember. The cook. I know who he was. I got it written down here somewhere in my notes.
So now he's like... He's like a spirit visiting her the way the cook was a spirit visiting him when he was, you know.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Yeah, it was a crazy flick.
And I got to say, I got to thank you because I had never seen Dr. Sleep. And watching it, it was a good damn movie. And I was really happy that I got to see it. So I got to thank you for recommending that. That was good.
No problem, man. That, to me, was... probably the best horror movie I'd seen in probably 10 years. I will say the new Evil Dead's kind of cool.
Yeah, Evil Dead Rise.
Especially the chick, like, Mommy's with the maggots now.
Yeah. I got an episode on that.
My old lady.
Months.
My old lady, she's pregnant. And she's got that, what do they call that when you're pregnant and you got diabetes?
I don't even
whatever. Know. I call her Beto. I'm like, what up, Beto? But... anyways, when we went to watch that movie afterwards, I kept being like, Mommy's got the beaties now. Mommy's got the beaties now. Dude, I'm a big Evil Dead fan. I love the original.
So, yeah, I got, I got a buddy of mine over here that we've been covering every month. We cover one of the movies and we just recorded the Army of Darkness one. And
oh, shit.
We're moving on to the Evil Dead 2013 next month. So that's going to be fun.
It's not as good as a new one.
Yeah. But, Evil Dead Rise is good, but there is so much with that Evil Dead. When Evil Dead Rise was so popular because of the popularity of it, Bruce Campbell might be coming back.
You've seen the show, right? Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Yeah, I've watched that about 20 times from start to finish.
That show is the remake to me. Like, that 2013 shit was fucking stupid.
I don't see the 2013 as a remake. I see that as an expansion of the Evil Dead universe.
Yeah.
You know, I always hear people talking about, oh, it's a remake. It's a remake. I always saw it as another story.
Yeah.
Dealing with the Necronomicon, dealing with the Evil Dead.
I don't even remember it.
It's gory.
But I do know I watched it.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. And when I go into it watching it, thinking it's not a remake, thinking that it's an expansion of the universe, it makes it more enjoyable. Especially with Evil Dead Rise coming out, how good that was. And that's not anything like, I mean, they have a lot of callbacks to the original movies. You know, Dead by Dawn and all the stuff that's coming out. But it's not, it doesn't follow the same kind of feel as the Bruce Campbell movies.
Yeah, yeah. The newest one, they made it kind of creepy. So that was cool. But at the same time, at the end, it seemed a little more religious. Like I know the Necronomicon or whatever was the Book of the Dead and this and that. But they kind of made it more of a exorcist feel to this newest one to me, which isn't horrible, but they did a decent job. I think the one they did now, like this new one, was better than the one they did in 2013.
Yeah, well, the director of this one was saying is that there are multiple books of the dead in the world. In the original Evil Dead, they call it the Sumerian Book of the Dead.
Okay.
And in this one, they call the Book of the Dead, it was like something Demontu or something like that. But it's a different Necronomicon is basically what it comes down to. There's multiple Necronomicon.
Yeah.
So each movie, you know, Bruce Campbell dealt with one version of the Necronomicon. The 2013 version dealt with another version of the Necronomicon. And the Evil Dead Rise dealt with another version of the Necronomicon. And each of those Necronomicons had their own deadites and how they acted and how they reacted to stuff. So it's interesting because, you know, Bruce Campbell has a cameo in the new Evil Dead Rise. He plays one of the voices on the recording.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, one of the records he's the guy that's saying, no, don't do it. Don't read it. It's the Book of the Dead for a reason. And the director is saying that they cannot confirm nor deny that Bruce Campbell's voice on that record was not Ashley J. Williams from the Evil Dead. There's a possibility that he may come back. But needless to say, we weren't here to talk about the Evil Dead, but we got into it.
I got something I want to show you in a second when it gets in here. But yeah, man, I know we're here to talk about the Evil Dead, but it's such a great.
I love the Evil Dead. Great,
like one and two is the same exact movie, except for two has a little bit better of an ending. So they just call it Evil Dead 2. There's no real, there is a real Evil Dead 1, but there's no point in watching it if you're going to watch Evil Dead 2.
You know why they did that, right?
I don't remember why they did it. I just know I had all the VHS tapes.
It was a copyright issue. When they made Evil Dead 2, another company owned Evil Dead 1, so they weren't allowed to use the footage from that. They said, fine, we'll just recreate it.
Oh, well, hell yeah. I didn't know that.
That's why they did that.
So there's two movies, Evil Dead 2 and The Army of Darkness.
Love Army of Darkness.
Yeah, they're unmatched. They're amazing.
Yeah, and Ash vs. Evil Dead, it is like the Army of Darkness Part 2.
Yeah. No, I was always saying that, like, they're always trying to make Evil Dead, so why not make another Army of Darkness? Shit was crazy.
The original plan was, if Ash vs. Evil Dead did good, they were going to make an Army of Darkness Part 2, but you know, they released it on Stars, and nobody wanted to subscribe to Stars just to watch Army of Dark or Evil Ash vs. Evil Dead. So the movie got canceled after three seasons. So they never made Army of Darkness Part 2. But Ash vs. Evil Dead is pretty much, I mean, it's the further adventures of Ashley J. Williams. Good stuff.
Yeah, I love all that shit, dude. I love all those movies.
Dude, it's the Necronomicon. Is that like a prop, or is it like a notebook?
It's a notebook, bro.
Dude, that's
I draw little still designs in this son of a bitch.
That is awesome.
Shit for work shit. But yeah, man, I seen that in the oddity shop. I was like, give me one of those.
That's awesome, dude.
I was going to write all my recipes down and sell it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. At first, I used to write all my recipes down, but then I just got tired of writing all the time.
Yeah.
It was like every week I was doing a new recipe and I'm trying something new. I got a small little book full of them. I'm like, oh, I'm tired of writing shit down now.
I keep having people who are like, do you have a recipe book? I would buy it. And I'm like, I got over 400 videos. Just go watch them. You know, the fucking recipes in the description. Well, I thought about just handwriting one and then auctioning it off. Like 20 years from now, when I'm dead, I'll be like, here, son, auction that shit off. Pay the light bill one time.
I don't know. Might go for a little pretty penny there, I'm telling you.
It'd at least be in a cool ass, you know, it'd look cool as shit.
Yeah. The Necronomicon. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
But Phil, that's it. That's the end of this podcast episode. And I want to thank you for joining me to discuss The Shining and Dr. Sleep and some side discussions as well. But this was awesome. And if anybody out there wanted to find you because you're not popular enough on YouTube, where would they find you at?
All you got to do is Google Philbilly Moonshine, and I'm every fucking where. You type in Philbilly Moonshine, and you'll find versions of me that you love and versions of me that you hate. It doesn't matter.
Awesome. Well, Phil, thank you very much once again. And as we close out, I want to tell everybody, sleep well and love, peace, and chicken grease. And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night and God bless America.